News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
8:06, coming up on 8:07, Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Arwig. Leanna Miller is in for Dan Brennan again this morning. Good morning, Leanna.
Good morning.
And we've had a good first 2 hours, plenty of local news we've been discussing. That's been the hot topics on the Mallory Piping text line this morning, 251-343-0106, with the groundbreaking of the new Mobile Downtown Arena yesterday.
And exciting.
A lot of the commentary that came from local officials and yes. Oakview Group officials yesterday. We've been discussing that. The hockey team, the big topic, mostly yes. Coming from that, and seating.
And then, names.
And the what?
And the name of the hockey
team. Yes, the name of the hockey team. And then Dolphin Island Bridge renovation, set to start soon, almost $34 million rehab project. There's been a lot of Dolphin Island talk as well this morning. But probably the biggest news nationally is what went on overnight and then was voted on early this morning, and that's Trump's one big beautiful bill in the House. It has now moved through the House, and that vote about as close as it could possibly get, 215 to 214 with one present vote. And so now it heads to the Senate, where they will mark it up and make all kinds of changes, and then it'll have to get back through the House. I think the overall plan is to have this thing completely done by Independence Day. But it looks like House Speaker Mike Johnson got his initial goal of getting it through the House by Memorial Day done. The votes, so you had all Republicans but three vote for the big, beautiful bill. The two that voted no, well, one you knew would be a no vote, and I like Thomas Massie. I've made that clear on this show plenty of times before, and I think he gets a lot of unnecessary but expected hate for his take on things. But Massie was a no vote, and he was joined by Representative Warren Davidson of Ohio. You had one Republican vote present, and that was obviously the big difference maker here. Maryland Republican Andy Harris voted present. He did vote president by voting present. He said he wanted to move the legislation along, but had concerns about deficits and Medicaid. You had a couple Republicans miss the vote. Andrew Garbarino from New York, David Schweikert from Arizona. Schweikert said the vote concluded as he reached the House floor, but that he supports the bill. That's pretty convenient. So they wrapped the vote up. He didn't have to put his name on it. He said, oh, no, I actually support that bill that just passed. I was just running late. Was he like running from the bat? Well, it was a late night. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
It was a overnight, second night in a row overnight, but he misses the final vote. I'd love to hear the story behind that. Don't care enough to search it out, but I would love to hear that story.
2 days.
So he had a couple Republicans miss the vote, which would have made it, if they had voted yes, 217 to 214 with the one present vote. But now, you know, that does turn what the one present vote, what he said his issues are, deficits and Medicaid. That's what this conversation will continue to be about, is the increase in spending. And as the Trump administration tries to fight the federal debt problem, I'm not sure if we expected, once he was elected, for this first bill to come out with so much spending. And there's been a lot of talk about DOGE, a lot of people kind of gleefully saying, look at how badly DOGE failed. They came in to cut costs and get spending back into reasonable, what taxpayers would reasonably expect. And damn if they didn't give it their best effort and right. continue to in many different avenues up in D.C. But I think overall, not great, not fantastic that DOGE wasn't really able to get more cut from the federal government. And we saw it really minute by minute and day by day, how tough of a egg the federal spending problem is to crack, because they go after the easy stuff, the layups, mm-hmm. right? DOGE, they come in immediately going after the easy stuff. And there were people upset they were digitizing files. If you can't get past Americans upset that you're digitizing old paper files, like every little thing was nitpicked.
Yes.
Like Americans don't care about this deficit problem and about the debt and the interest we're paying on the debt. So a man in Elon Musk, well, men in Elon Musk and Trump, and they set up this thing that is going to save America, and half of America attacks them relentlessly from the start. But even worse than that, a lot of the same people in Congress who on camera will applaud Musk and the Doge cost-cutting efforts, when it comes down to it, it's the same old Congress that we've seen forever and ever and ever. They're fine with cuts as long as you're not cutting their stuff.
Right.
They're fine with jumping on board controversial topics, being on the controversial side, as long as it won't get them in trouble back in their home district. It's absolutely insane. The real problem are the people who, well, voted this spending package through last night and in the Senate, who are expected to take the reins next. But there have been a lot of questions about, of course, cuts to entitlements, also cuts to Social Security and Medicaid, cuts to federal government jobs and programs. And we had one texter, first important question about this morning, if I can find it. And they brought Dan into the mix with the question here. Okay, here, pardon my ignorance, but did the no tax on Social Security pass? I know the no tax on tips and overtime sailed through. What about relief for old turds like me and Dan? Now, it's not fair to call Dan an old turd when he's not here. Dan is one of the most physically fit men of his age that I know, so I'll say that. And so the no tax, and I'm not sure the final, exactly what made it through this final vote, because they did make some changes overnight. But I think that was, so they included a $40,000 cap on SALT deductions, the state and local tax deductions. You had Republicans, moderates from high tax states that wanted that deduction. You have all these people in low tax states who are saying that's not fair for us, because you're living in a state that has high state taxes, for us to subsidize you. But they included that because you had Republicans who were a hard no if they didn't at least include some kind of deduction there for SALT. Also added new tax breaks for families and workers. When they were working this up, they did have that included, and I do think it passed here. Some of these tax cuts, the bill includes versions of Trump's campaign trail promises to eliminate taxes on tips, overtime pay, and Social Security benefits, all lasting from 2025 through 2028. The tips and overtime provisions include limits that prevent high-income workers from getting the break. Removing income taxes on Social Security benefits has procedural problems, so the bill instead has a $4,000 addition to the standard deduction for people 65 and over, which phases out for higher income people. So that was the latest as of yesterday on some of those tax cuts that a lot of folks were really paying close attention to. One of the things, Leanna, in this bill that really caught my attention, and it's no surprise, and it's honestly completely self-serving, but the breaks and the investments in young families and children. I don't know the last time we saw a bill like this that made it through that involves this much investment in growing the country through families, which right. is what I would say a vast, vast majority of Trump voters, a lot of that is on their mind. How can we grow America with American families? And so it includes a lot of tax breaks, and I know Senator Katie Britt has been boosting this a lot, but Caroline Leavitt earlier this week really kind of put it all out there. So she says the One Big Beautiful Bill is pro-family. It will increase the child tax credit to $2,500 per child, but also establish an optional savings account for newborn babies with a $1,000 credit added, and they also strengthen paid family leave in this legislation. So the MAGA baby savings accounts that they're talking about here, for children that are younger than 8, but born before January 1st of 2024. So that's a small 4-year window there, more or less. No? Yeah. Small window there of the children that will be included in this. Somehow both of mine are in, nice. In that range.
My grandson's in that one.
Okay. And it'll have at least, they have to have at least one parent with a valid Social Security number. This was a Ted Cruz specialty, by the way. The Invest America Act is how he billed it when he sponsored the bill. They said, and when this tax provision becomes law, the child will, if the parents seek to do this, be set up with a savings account. Essentially, it's a 401k for a newborn baby. A child's relatives, Their parents can contribute up to $5,000 per year of after-tax dollars annually to that account. And then later in the baby's life at age 25, savings account holders can withdraw up to the full balance of the account. Upon reaching 30, the account holders can access the full balance of the account for any purpose desired. They say a great initiative for new parents, new mothers who want to set up savings accounts for their children. And I know there's options like that out there.
Yes.
A lot of the Roth IRA talk and a lot of the, you know, college savings plans for children. And honestly, that's not my game. I'm not great at that kind of stuff, the savings accounts and everything. Right. I mean, I have savings accounts. We have accounts for our children. And I know there's a lot of options out there and people are like, no, you got to do it like this. You got to do it like that. I think I pretty much do just the standard parent thing. Mm-hmm. So this is interesting, the way they set this up. And there's a whole lot. I mean, it is at last check, I think an 1,116 page bill. And they touch on basically everything that touches the budget. So a lot of folks have a lot of questions about what's in it. There's been a lot of talk already about what's in it. But now the Senate will get a handle on this. And we'll see how far the Republicans are willing to go. Who's going to push back? You know that Senator Rand Paul will be one of the no votes, I think, probably however this ends up going.
Yeah.
The only way he would vote yes is if the bill is sent back to the House in a way that the House would never vote on it. That's the only way you'll get a Rand Paul vote. And you have really, really tight numbers there in the Senate. So a long ways to go on this, but Mike Johnson, the House Speaker, says he wants to get it all the way done by Independence Day. And you have that big parade and everything coming up to celebrate America. Your thoughts on this, 251-343-0106. Let us know on the Mallory Piping text line. Also a lot of text to get to on these local issues that were in our three big things. Civic Center Arena.
Oh,
Dauphin Island Bridge. You have Tuberville now set to announce next week he's running for governor. A whole lot to get to on Mobile Mornings as we continue. KRG News on the way and also traffic from Kane. We'll be back right after this. Some grounding talk here in the FM Talk 106.5 studios. You know, the health thing, grounding.
I don't know what that is.
You don't? A lot of people talk about, you know, connecting with the earth. Mm-hmm. A lot of the grounding is walking around just barefoot. So a lot of the...
I do that anyway.
A lot of the health hacks. Yeah, we've been walking around barefoot forever down here in South Alabama. I actually hate it. I used to have much, much tougher feet when I lived in Grove Hill. I don't know why. Maybe I was walking around a whole lot more without my shoes on. But so grounding. And now they have these grounding blankets where you plug them into just the ground plug. Anyway, that was part of the discussion in the break here at FM Talk 106.5. Hey, this segment brought to you by Tobias and Comer Law. This week is National Boating Safety Week. And they line up a lot of these safety days kind of all this week, because it's Memorial Day weekend. It's the first warm weather weekend for a lot of people who are able to get out, but not down here, of course. Still a big getaway weekend, a lot of people traveling. So National Boating Safety Week lines up with National Beach Safety Week and all of the safeties, but boating, very important you're safe out there, because of course you can affect much more than just the lives, your own life or the lives of those on your vessel, but those around you. It's important to wear life jackets, of course, but also make sure you have a Coast Guard approved PFD, and novice boaters, this might not be the best weekend to get out and learn the controls on your boat for the first time, but do us all a favor, at least get out, take a safety class or something like that before you get out on the water on a busy weekend like this. And remember, paddle boards and a lot of these other non-motorized vessels also subject to the same PFD requirements as those on a boat. Tobias and Comer Law, they did a great series of videos where they rode around with a Marine Patrol trooper, or they rode around, the trooper boarded their vessel, and then showed them exactly the documents that you need on board, the safety equipment, and the ways you can stay safe out there on the water. So National Boating Safety Week, take it seriously. And also keep in mind, Tobias and Comer Law, you can call them for a free consultation anytime, 251-432-5001. From car to boating accidents, defective products to workplace accidents and maritime injuries, They've seen it all there at Tobias and Comer Law, and you can check them out online at tobiascomerlaw.com. 8:24 on Mobile Mornings. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. A lot of local issues to discuss with him, and some that we've been discussing this morning. Larry from Daphne texts in, "My son attempted to put a fork in an electrical outlet, so I grounded him. He is currently conducting himself properly." Thank you, Larry. Another text here, "Very, very, very disappointed that no tax on Social Security isn't included in the bill. The tax breaks that were included for Social Security benefits is a joke." So I don't know how much of a break this actually is. They said because it's a difficult procedure legislatively to completely eliminate taxes on Social Security. That's at least the phrasing that was used, and from what I've been reading, it includes an enhanced $4,000 tax deduction for certain Social Security recipients. So I think there's an income threshold there where it tapers off or completely cuts off those who get these breaks. But they say it's to help offset taxes on Social Security income. So it's not a direct cut to Social Security itself. And I saw James texted in too, and James has been, he's been talking Medicare for a long time now. But also he says, "Dalton, this bill addresses zero on the debt, punishing the kids and poor to give tax breaks for those who don't need it. Southern Republicans are about to see this bill affects them too, not just the liberals." The Medicaid cuts and the cuts to SNAP, this is another one of those things where I know it's being overblown, but I don't know how much it's being overblown. And the way they work this through, so the Medicaid cuts here, the Medicaid cuts are really through stricter enforcement of who is or isn't allowed to be drawing Medicaid. It would require Medicaid recipients to work or volunteer. Some states who use special arrangements they call provider taxes, this would clamp down on those. And that's how I guess they get around. It's kind of a convoluted way of states getting around paying their share for Medicaid. And it also requires more checks to make sure those on Medicaid are still eligible and reduces funding to states that offer coverage for immigrants in the country illegally. So I know a lot of people are saying the kids are going to starve in the streets because of these cuts to Medicaid. But if they're doing it the way they say they're doing it, and I don't know how much money they save just from illegal immigrants on Medicaid, but I imagine that's a small but probably decent sized chunk there. But then you just have those who are committing fraud, Medicaid fraud. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it would surprise anyone to realize or find out that that's probably a really high number. You look at all the fraud and all these other areas of government that DOGE uncovered and all of the mistakes the government has been made with money that they're pushing out, taxpayer money. I don't think it would be surprising at all to know that there are tons of people just defrauding taxpayers through Medicaid. And then you have states kind of doing the same thing with these loopholes. So that all sounds fine to me. When do you expect the first child to starve to death in the streets of America? I don't see it happening anytime soon. And that involves the SNAP bill too. So they're aiming to cut around $300 billion to SNAP, largely through changes to that program, provides food aid to low-income households. That one also tightens the existing work requirements by raising the age of able-bodied people who must work at least 80 hours a month or receive SNAP benefits to 64, up from 54. So raising the age of those who can get SNAP, I guess. Currently, able-bodied low-income people between 18 and 54 can receive food assistance for no more than 3 months within a three-year period unless they're working or enrolled in a work program. So there are some cuts, but then you also have conservatives who say there's nowhere near the cuts we need to see here and there's too much spending. And I haven't looked at the market today. I know yesterday there was quite the sell-off. The explanation I saw for that was Treasury bonds not being picked up at the rate they thought they would be at market.
Yeah.
Which means people expect interest, issues with interest on the debt. And then with this spending bill, I think that didn't really temper a whole lot of the people who were freaking out on Wall Street. But my thought is, you know, if this does deregulate industry the way they say it will, and if it does lower business taxes and taxes on all working people, I would expect the market to shoot up once those start going into effect, once you start seeing businesses really take advantage of a more business-friendly administration.
Right.
So I'm kind of confused on what the market is seeing exactly, but I think the market kind of stays confused on its own, too.
Oh, definitely. I think that a lot of people are just scared from the last few months of everything going so up and down.
Yeah, and the tariffs obviously playing a role in that discussion as well.
Exactly.
8:30, Rob Holbert with Landyap joins us next to talk about some local issues here on Mobile Mornings. A35 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Thursday. Getaway Thursday for some of you with Memorial Day weekend. I know a lot of people spend their Memorial Day weekend with family.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good reasons to be outside. I think I'm going to spend all weekend, because we're in the final home stretch here, of voting at votenappies.com. When my family says, hey, come outside, we're grilling, I'm going to say, I can't, I'm still voting. Because the nappies end at the beginning of June. Rob,
same here.
Rob Holbert with Landyap. And, final home stretch here for votenappies.com.
We are, man. It's big time. There's still time to vote, still time to get out there, and still time to ignore your family and spend your time voting. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I tried it once. My wife said, but you can only vote once per day. You're doing something else. And I said, no, I'm still voting.
They shouldn't know that part. That's
So a lot to get into and a lot of local discussion on the Mallory Piping text line for us this morning, Rob. The Civic Center and, I guess it's the Mobile Arena. They're not going with Civic Center Arena. But groundbreaking yesterday. It's been a week of groundbreakings on both sides of the bay. But a lot of talk yesterday about what is to come. I know Mayor Stimson very excited about this. And some good commentary from him and Brady Petrie's article at the groundbreaking ceremony yesterday. Hockey will return. I guess they'll let the citizens vote for the name of the hockey team is kind of what it's sounding like, which that has high probability of going haywire, I'll say. But there's a lot from that announcement yesterday, including great concert tours apparently coming through. Not the B-level stuff, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, that's their plan. You know, they're talking about a lot of us having some top quality entertainment coming through town, hockey coming back. Mm. You know, I'm kind of hopeful that we'll follow this weird baseball trend of naming the hockey team something completely ridiculous and just go with that. Those things are, it's definitely going to be a big change. I think people are going to enjoy having this entertainment options downtown. And, there's still a lot of focus on the Mardi Gras balls and that kind of thing. If we look back historically, the Civic Center had, when it first opened, it had a lot more balls than it did by the time it closed. You know, a lot of those organizations went elsewhere, and I think that you may see some of these groups never come back to the arena. I don't know, but I think there should be a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, and I know that some of the folks who rank Mardi Gras ahead of any other activity or event that might be hosted there, I think they were maybe hoping to see what that would look like in some of the new renderings. And from the renderings I saw, I didn't see any Mardi Gras ball type of layouts. They did have the hockey layout. They had a concert kind of layout. Pretty interesting, but they're in such a difficult decision, Rob. The city and the designers and the construction crew that's going to do this, because you have so many people who want so many different things out of this one project that not everyone's going to be happy, I guess.
Well, I think the easy thing is compromise. Mardi Gras on ice makes the most sense. Just have people out there. No more. Yeah, people don't have to do the centipede anymore. They can just skate or do a double axle or do something like that. That would be nice.
Yeah, but we'll see. So do you think this will, I guess this is a stupid question in many ways, but they have a 2027 timeline on this. They say, I think they want to get it they're done and ready for the balls for Mardi Gras 2027. Think they're able to get that done? They've stayed on task so far.
I mean, that's their goal. That's a tall order, but, that's what they want done. So we'll see if it happens. Everybody's always skeptical when you say a building project is going to get done on time, but sometimes it happens. It actually does. I mean, look how fast they put up the buildings down here for the Corps of Engineers, and I mean, that went up like lightning, so you never know.
It did. The Corps of Engineers building, first one up on that property, followed closely by the parking garage and then the arena. So the Corps of Engineers, they're in the mix in the discussion this week again, as dredging has become a hot topic in these parts. Not just the dredging of Langan Lake, which was announced this week, but of course the bay. And there's been a big push. I know a couple town halls, one recently in on this side with Mobile Baykeeper, one tonight, I think, in Fairhope. Mm-hmm. They're going to hold a town hall. Where are we on this? Because I kind of thought that the opportunity to end this has passed, but it looks like they're still putting up a fight.
Yeah, the you know, obviously it's kind of reignited lately, and I think that video showing all the mud being kind of spewed around in the bay really started people back up. And Senator Chris Elliott mentioned it on the floor of the legislature, and I think when they had a meeting last week, and Baykeeper kind of rolled out this plan of saying, hey, you know what we think we're going to do is try to go over their heads. We're going to try to defund this thing from Washington, basically to say there's not going to be money for thin layer placement anymore. There will be money for taking up land and getting rid of it or taking it to open seas, but no more thin layer placement money. That's an interesting theory and an interesting concept to get done. But, you know, they seem to have some political will behind it, which is unusual in our parts, because generally, you know, if there's a dollar to be made, most of our politicians are kind of like, yeah, who cares about the environment?
Right.
But in this case, you know, you're seeing some people get behind it and, you know, really question whether this is the best thing for the bay and whether it's what we want. So, you know, I think there could be that opportunity. At least maybe there's an opportunity for the Corps to come back and maybe come up with a compromise or figure out something that works that is going to help people feel a little bit better about what's going on there.
I'm kind of surprised. I mean, it seemed like an innocuous video to me at first, the video of the dredge spoils being, you know, redistributed. But that really seemed to have an effect and give this thing new legs. And you mentioned Senator Elliott bringing it up. I thought it was rare, too, that the Senate President Pro Tem Garland Gudger was at the council meeting and talking about dredging. I guess he said he wants some more clarity on what exactly is going on down here.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I think the thing, you know, when you hear this terminology, thin layer placement, it sounds kind of surgical, and it sounds like, oh, we're going to be laying this tiny layer of silt along the bottom of the bay. When you see this hopper dredge just kind of like a sprinkler going back and forth, spewing mud into the bay, you know, in choppy water, and it's like, you know, how accurate is that? I get it. I see it, and I'm like, you know, it doesn't look good. And when you talk to, you know, people who work the waters, fishermen, they're like, hey, the turbidity, you know, the cloudiness of the water is increasing. It's making it hard for seagrass to grow. It's killing off the critters on the bottom of the bay. So I think that's, you know, that it's hard for them to make, to have people look at that and say, no, this is really great. This is going to work out great. You know?
Exactly. I'm talking with Rob. Go ahead, Rob.
I'm done.
Gotcha. Rob Holbert, LandYapMobile.com. Vote nappies through June 1st. And also some big news statewide this week. And we have this mayoral race coming up and a forum we had earlier this week. But a lot of the discussion about next year's primaries in general. And Ainsworth makes it official. He's not going to run for governor. And he's not going to run for Senate. He's going to return to private industry, private work. And it looks like it's full speed ahead for Tuberville, who's set to make the announcement next week that he's running for governor.
Yeah, it's really fascinating how quickly Tommy Tuberville was able to sort of bully everybody out of it. Not saying he personally bullied them, but just to say that you know, everybody got out of his way. You know, I think Ainsworth has long been the front runner for the next governor. And, you know, I think that's a job he wanted. And all of a sudden he says, well, I want to go spend more time with my kids, you know, which is code for I don't think I can win this race.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, it'll be really a mess if Tuberville doesn't get in, but I, you know, obviously they feel like he's going to, and you know, it, I don't know what kind of opposition he's really going to face from any other Republicans, if he's going to face any more. It opens up the U.S. Senate seat, mm-hmm. clearly, and that will be a big fight. And you know, who you're going to see doing that? I think it seems like Ainsworth was not really keen on the idea of leaving the state, and I think he does have fairly young children, and you know, didn't want to live that life, I think.
Yeah, he said he wanted to see his kids grow up, and you know, Tuberville has been pretty honest. He is not liked that kind of life over this term in Senate, especially fighting against the current with the Democrat-held House and presidency these last few years. But I wonder, with Club for Growth endorsing Tuberville, and you know you're going to get Trump's endorsement, or unless Tuberville does something between now and May to turn Trump against him, whoever does decide to run in this primary, I mean, get your hard hat on, because they're Club for Growth, Trump, Tuberville, you're going to go through a hell of a fight there.
Yeah, I would be really surprised if you see any other Republicans get into it, just because it will be so loaded on that side. You know, you may see somebody as a token, but I doubt that there's going to be anybody really serious that gets into it. I mean, living in D.C. is a, you know, working up there, I think it's a different way of life for people, and you know, if they don't like it, if you don't enjoy that, constantly being just bathed in all the politics up there, then you know, I can see why somebody wouldn't want to be there very long.
Yeah, that kind of turned my stomach the way you put that. Just a lot of sliminess up there, and believe it or not, some of the politicians don't like it. Some of them kind of wallow in it, but we know that. So you mentioned the Senate seat opening up too. That seems like that could be a knockdown, drag-out competitive fight compared to the gubernatorial Republican side. I know there have been a lot of names mentioned here, and now Ainsworth out, but do you think we'll see some pretty high-profile Alabama political names that jump into this?
I mean, yeah, I think you're going to see folks get in, you know, who they are. I don't, you know, I mean, supposedly Steve Marshall has claimed he's not running for anything else. You know, he's not my favorite, but I think you're going to see Caroline Dobson probably try to jump back in and do those things. You may see somebody you may see Barry Moore. There's talk of that. You're probably going to see at least one or two Congress people make a run for it as well. So, you know, because they love to get into that 6-year cycle instead of the every 2-year run.
Yeah. And then
life's a lot easier for them.
And then you're set for life in many cases. Once you get in that first time, you're in forever. Yeah. Rob, good stuff this morning. You guys have the most and the best local and statewide news at landyapmobile.com. Of course, people need to vote at votenappies.com. But while you're over there in that neighborhood, go ahead and sign up for a subscription online.
Absolutely. It helps us do what we do, folks. And it's only it's $9 a month. It's 30 cents a day. First month is $1, so you can check it out. If you don't like it, cancel. But it really helps us keep going, and we do tons of news every day there that is not in print. So there's a lot to miss.
Yeah, sure enough. Thanks, Rob. We appreciate it. We'll talk with you next week.
Y'all have a great weekend.
All right. There you go. Rob Hulbert, Landyap, and landyapmobile.com. And we would appreciate your votes in the nappies.
Oh, definitely.
I think he gave us the date there, but I think June 1st, maybe the final. Yeah, June 1st is a Sunday, so midnight Sunday going into Monday, that'll be the final day for voting, but we're up in a bunch of categories.
We are. We best radio station, morning show, lifestyle show.
Yeah, yep, and we've got several in that one, best lifestyle show. I think you got Finch, you got Sip and Chew,
right?
Josh Null, who's on the weekends, and meanwhile, we're about the four horsemen. I wasn't going to say that, but now that I said it, it sounds really weird. But me and Dan and Jeff and Sean all in for best talk show host. So we really haven't started the mudslinging. I was
against
thinking
each
it was
other?
Too early in the campaign, but here we are in the home stretch, and none of us have really thrown any bows. So I don't know if that will turn dirty at any point, the four of us kind of battling it out.
That would be fun.
It would absolutely be terrible if that started something on the text line at 251-343-01. There have already been people trying to talk some smack about Dan while he's out. I don't think that's very fair that Dan can't defend himself here. So you can hit Dan with some of these. Unless you're scared to say it to his text line face, hit him up with that next week when Dan returns.
He can still read these.
He actually can. So, yeah, maybe he'll jump on and let you hear it there. Paul texting out on the Mallory Piping text line, sounds like Caroline for Senate. You know, I've wondered about that. I've thought maybe AG, maybe that's the direction Caroline Dobson would go. And I know Jeff Poore probably has a whole lot more insight into her camp's line of thinking on this and what she wants to run for next. She did a really good job, you know, actually a pretty amazing job winning the primary for AL2, but then falling short to Shamari Figures. I don't know, is that enough of a dent in your resume that'll keep you from getting the funding that you need in Senate and to have some of the people hop on board? But then again, as far as a first ever campaign as a
potential
politician, she did really well. So who would you like to see run for what could be Tuberville's open Senate seat? Let us know on the text line, 251-343-0106. We'll come back right after the break. Five till nine, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And coming up, we got the Jeff Poore Show. Great guests on that front. Coming up, hour number one, political consultant Dave Mowry. In hour two, April Marie Fogle joins Jeff with 1819 News. And hour three, Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kennan joining the show. 251-343-0106. That works for our show or Jeff's show if you want to get in touch. This segment brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Take a swing this spring and summer at making some baseball entries this season on Underdog. It's one of the fastest growing sports game apps, and you can play Underdog Fantasy in Alabama. I have been for over a year now and playing many nights of the year. If there's sports on, it's pretty much guaranteed I've got an Underdog entry underway. Millions of fans have already won billions making plays on Underdog, and you could be next. It's really easy to set up your entry and play along on Underdog. Just choose higher or lower on player stats. So in baseball, you're talking stats like home runs and strikeouts and total bases. You have basketball stats, you have hockey stats for each of those respective sports. They do golf. I mean, they have all the sports. And when you make your entry, you just need at least two players, and they could be from different sports or just different teams. But once you have those two, you're good to go. You can keep adding players, and the more players you add, the more money you could win. If your entry is correct, you could win up to 1,000 times your money. So you could turn a dollar into 1,000 just with your sports and baseball knowledge. Download the Underdog app, sign up with promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, and unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. It's promo code Dalton. Must be 19 plus in Alabama and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply, and if you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.com. Steven texting in, and on the name of the potential new hockey team that will inhabit the new arena, says Mobile Leprechauns. I want the goal. This is what he said there.
I actually like that.
We've had a lot of hockey team name, people putting out what they think the team name should be, and a lot of them. Like, what was it? I think Leo said, Mobile's hockey team should be named the Mobile Boondoggles, just like all the other attempts to get tourists. There's a lot of that sentiment, and it's been that way since the return of hockey was kind of first brought up, about midway through last year or into fall of last year, that started becoming a discussion. A lot of folks wondering how they'll keep that arena populated through all of that, and some pretty lofty goals, I'd say, from Oak View Group yesterday, saying how they want to really fill up that arena night in and night out and have some pretty high-profile touring acts and comedians coming around. So that'll continue to be a discussion as we watch it grow from the ground up. They said they'll start moving things vertically in August, but already a lot of work underway there. I think I read this one, but Jason said Port City Patriots. That's what he would like to see the team name here.
Yeah, I like that name too.
Jake said, I went to a few Mystics games and never saw the appeal. I guess all the Northern converts like it, but all of us that have only seen snow three times in our lives don't feel it. So Jake doesn't think it's going to be that popular. Let's see here. Keep these texts coming as Jeff's show comes on. 251-343-0106. A lot of texts also about the big, beautiful bill that passed through the House this morning.
Yep.
Sure, you'll get some commentary on that during Jeff Poor and Midday. But that does it. Mobile Mornings back bright and early tomorrow morning at 6. Thank you, Leanna.
Thank you.
And you'll be back tomorrow morning at 6, too.
Yes, I will.